if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 292. This is our 2024 Genesis Invitational Bets Pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's elevated status PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gambler aware. You can visit begamblerware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website. I'll get there. Where we have Genesis in-depth betting preview, strokes gained rankings. We've got form stats, plus, of course, our Genesis predictor model. All of that content, can you believe it, Paul? It's completely free of charge. There's no paywall. We're just giving it away. We're available on X. You can follow us at A Good Talk Golf. That is Barry. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. Now, I know that 20% of you guys listen to this podcast on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe and please press that like button for us. Now, you guys, listeners, power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This review, chaps, is from Dan. Dan is in Colchester in Essex. It's quite long, but it's really good. Essential to the golf podcast rotation, five stars. I must confess, I listen to my pods on a non-Apple and Spotify podcast app. So it takes a special one for me to download Apple Podcasts to write a review. I first discovered the show in the summer last year after hearing Steve on Andy Lack's podcast ahead of the US Open at Los Angeles Country Club. I was already a big fan of Andy's work, but I was equally as impressed with the insight and fine details that Steve provided. Since then, the Golf Betting System podcast has been a weekly must-listen in my podcast rotation because of the brilliant effort that Steve, Barry and Paul put forth each week. Whilst the podcast is fantastic, it would also be remiss if I didn't give recognition to the fantastic event write-ups that go up on the site each week for the PGA and DP World Tours. I found no one else in the industry who go to the lengths these boys go in helping the reader, listener, understand the nuances of the game and where the game is played. You would be doing yourself a disservice not getting involved with content from the Golf Betting System crew. Thank you, gents. Dan, thank you. That's a very in-depth review. Much appreciated.
Fantastic stuff. Yes, thanks, Dan. Thanks for taking the time to download Apple to be able to write that. But the words and the prose there really is pleasing to hear. So, yeah, thanks for that.
Thank you very much. That was a five-star review itself. Mm,
absolutely.
I think we try and articulate in non-data format, yeah, courses and what people need to be looking for and trends and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of the podcasts I listen to are all about the data. And that's fine if you're into data. But we just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? We just kind of go on and chat about various things that we find interesting.
Mm. Yeah, well, the data's all there, isn't it?
And data.
There's data on the site, data, yeah.
It's all about the data. Mm. Oh, dear. Last week, wow. I do love the Waste Management Phoenix Open. The PGA Tour is going through its trials and tribulations at the moment, but you've got to say it was a decent finish. They managed to get it done in 4 days, just.
Just about.
I've got great news, chaps. We've actually got decent weather this week in Los Angeles for the Genesis, so that's good. We might actually get it finished on time.
Mm.
But yes, I didn't see Charlie Hoffman coming. I thought Charlie, I genuinely think also when you get these rare events where they don't reseed for the final round and they're basically, they're playing in the same group all the way through the day, that does kind of aid the odd shock because someone like Charlie isn't sitting there thinking for 2.5 hours that he's about to tee off in the final group.
Yeah, yeah.
But he came from nowhere, didn't he? Absolutely. It was like what, and this was we messaged about this, didn't we, yesterday? On a soft golf course with receptive greens, it was like going back to 2013 and seeing a dogfight between like a Charlie Hoffman, a Phil Mickelson, a Scott Piercy, a Ryan Palmer, all of the soft course players that were legendary back then, desert rats. And there was Charlie Hoffman hitting it to about sort of 8 feet on most holes and actually nailing some putts and just starting to pull away from Scotty Scheffler, who yet again was lapping the fields in terms of strokes gained, but not being able to putt. And then, of course, Nick Taylor. What a finish. Great tournament. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, really impressive from Taylor to do what he did. Because, as you say, Hoffman would be sorely disappointed not to have actually won that in the end from the position that he was in. But Taylor to birdie, what, 3 of the last 4, and then 18 both times in the playoff. Super impressive.
I love 16. Your player standing on the tee, you just stand there going, oh, mate, come on, you've got to make birdie, because otherwise, and then all of a sudden they're making bogey.
Yep.
Well, they do if they're Kevin Yu, but that's such a great hole, such risk and reward. It's fantastic. I'd move that hole anywhere.
Mm.
Just watch it each week.
Yeah. We've seen all sorts of drama on there in the past, haven't we? People are going in the water, going over the back. Brooks, he chipped in, didn't he, in the final round when he won for an eagle, that kind of thing. It's great to have a hole like that right at the business end of a round, particularly on the fourth round where you can make all the difference to the tournament in the end.
I actually felt like I made a bit of progress. I did land a full each way last week on Sam Burns. I think he was just a couple too far behind, but he played well on the Sunday. I was quite pleased with Burns. Again, I did say, didn't I, on the podcast, I thought it might eke into the 20s, and it did for the leaders. And that's the kind of golf that Sam Burns tends to come alive on, when you can actually make some birdies.
Yeah.
Paul, well done for you at the DP World Tour. You actually got 2 in the each way places of big prizes. So that was fantastic. Scott Jameson and Tom McKibben.
Yeah, McKibben's... Well, I mean, Jameson finished ahead of him in the end, but McKibben was probably the disappointing one because he was in the vicinity all week, just couldn't make those birdies on Sunday, and that was always the fear, I guess. When I backed him, when I wrote my preview, it was a case of he's just going to need to putt slightly better than neutral to win this, and in the end he was marginally the right side of neutral, but it just needed to be just that little bit more. Scott Jameson was interesting because he looked like he was going to miss the cut. He made an eagle to make the cut on Thursday. Actually, he needed birdie, but he made eagle. And, you know, he's kind of sitting there just, you know, a couple of shots then inside the cut. But fantastic weekend, 68-65. And if you dig into it, he made a triple bogey on Saturday as well. Take that away, he makes par there. He's on the winning score, you know. Yes, I guess it would have gone completely different because he'd have been in the, you know, in the real heat of the battle at that point. But shows you that you shouldn't give up on a player who's just about scraping the cut, because there is an opportunity for him to come through and potentially compete, contend, and potentially win. So yeah, that was pleasing. Scott Jameson 66s, McKibben was 28. So I backed him at to get 2 of them into the mix. 2 of them into the paying places, saved the week, which was nice.
What were your thoughts on the weekend's golf, Barry?
I also had a triple effecta bet. My long shot, Jake Knapp, going into Sunday, kind of in touch, in contention, and made a triple on 18 in his third round, just completely torched any chances he had of being there. So that hurt. But yeah, I thought the Waste Management Phoenix Open, I thought it was really entertaining golf. The antics of the crowd was always going to get a bit crazy at some stage when something of that like level and amount of people are there just builds year on year on year. I think everybody's seeing the fun or whatever happened on full swing last year. You get a few more ideas in your head and you just go that little bit crazy and you end up with that madness, but it's only a few people. They'll figure it out. You have to go too far to find out where the happy medium is. I think they found it. So it presented a lot of entertaining videos for us to see on Twitter. nobody seemed to get hurt, so okay. The golf was really entertaining. Just some really high quality stuff going down the stretch between Taylor and Hoffman. It was just blow for blow. Yeah. And I think that's all you ever want to see as fans. Just a couple of guys, or more if you can get more involved in the mix, but just hitting high quality golf shots when there's a tournament on the line.
So when Scotty took the lead early on in the final round, what do you think his odds would have been on the exchange? He must have got on Zom. He was one clear close, at one point. Yeah. And then he bogeyed a par three.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always in the mix, isn't he? It's just that killer instinct or that killer touch with the putter that if and when he finds it again, it's just going to be a procession of additional tournament victories, but
he'll probably win tournaments by six or seven shots if he gets a putter going.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, when you're backing him at single digit prices each week and
he's not converting.
It's frustrating if you were to be that side of it. And again, it shows you exactly what happens in this game because we get yet another three-figure winner for the year on the PGA Tour. And there was a case for him as well. He'd finished second the previous year. Was he seventh? Was the Amex or the Century? He was seventh earlier in the year as well, wasn't he?
He was in the top 25 for my approach and putting numbers over the last 8 weeks, which is pretty chunky as a lead in. I focus specifically on those approach numbers. So it wasn't a complete bolt from the blue.
No, not at all.
Steve, I have a question for you about Scheffler. Do you think he should be on your post-it note of doom?
I've just counted, Barry. You know, and people, especially the media, you know, he's lapping the field in terms of strokes gained, which is, I mean, all of these facts are true. He's lapping the field. He's Tiger Woods-esque. The only difference with Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods used to do this and win. Scottie Scheffler, 18 appearances, and I'm hazarding the guess here, apart from potentially the majors, he's going to be single digits in all of them. It's now 18 starts and no victory.
So you've lost money if you just backed him outright, not even each way.
Yeah,
so you're just backing him outright because his price is short.
It was the 18th start. And I'm forgetting the Hero World Challenge because he did win that. But it's 18 main tour starts since the Players and he hasn't won. And you're backing him, apart from the majors, at single digits every single week.
So what if he was in the? I mean, if you got, let's say you got top six in a certain percentage of them, you could probably wash out close enough to square, could you? If you were backing them each way, an exercise for somebody better at maths than me, but it's just interesting.
He's always in the top ten. Always in the top ten.
Yeah, you get the excitement of him being there, but recently not converting.
So if you were taking advantage of say a Bet365 on their 10 or 12 places market or a Boyle Sports, you're basically getting your each way money back pretty much every week.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not winning for you.
Mm.
At the moment. But as you just said, that's the point though, isn't it? If he actually gets the putter, even gaining a stroke, he's going to be winning tournament after tournament after tournament. The only thing we always say, and we do say here, as we Bermuda and Bermuda overseeded with Poa is his surface. Five of his six PGA Tour victories on that surface. So if he doesn't, you know, Bermuda is clearly is prevalent in on the Florida swing. So Bay Hill must be something he's looking forward to. The Players again, which has that Poa Trivialis overseed. And then we're on, then we're into the bent grass portion of the, well, not directly, but it'll be, you know, before you know it, you're going to be into May and all of a sudden Bermuda becomes bent. And he's clearly he's won at the Masters. But again, that's a Bermuda grass golf course all the way to the actual green. He does love the Bermuda. Just on Nick Taylor, by the way, before we move on. Nick Taylor has now won four PGA Tour events, which I find pretty amazing. He's a quality player. He's one of these, because his stats are so up and down and he isn't so superb with strokes going tee to green each and every week, you do get some amazing prices on him. He's like a Sepp Straka in that kind of... you can name them, can't you? Kurt Kitayama's another one I always find. You know, you're banging 150-1 for a bloke who's in the top 50 in the world most weeks when he's not playing well. But it's these up and down, inconsistent golfers statistically that you can get value prices on. And he's definitely one of those.
There was I forget who it was. It may have been Padraig Harrington, actually. There was a quote from someone very recently when talking about players and careers. And that's exactly what he said, was you'd be far better off having, you know, a lumpy career where you get the wins, but then there's a lot of miscuts there rather than just someone who's churning out top 10s, top 15s, you know, a Charles Howell III type who is perennially in the vicinity on the leaderboard but doesn't convert. Because ultimately, it's the wins at the end that are going to be the ones that are counted. They're going to be the things that stick out. That when you look at someone's Wikipedia page, it's the wins that are collated. It's not the... you know, top seven finishes. It's
you want the high highs and the low lows. You don't want the low lows, but that way it happens. They have the ability to have those extreme outlier performances on a week to win, like Taylor's done. Absolutely. Just looking back at last year, bunch of cuts in there.
You know, he's a lot an assassin of cuts. Though, isn't he? When he's in contention, 160-1. Oh yeah. 160-1, 66-1, and 100-1 at the Phoenix Open. Those are his last three victories. Now, those three victories put him level. Listen to some of these names. Daniel Berger, Harris English, Russell Henley. Now, Russell Henley's going off at 20-1 every week.
Yep.
Charlie Hoffman. That one must hurt, Charlie. Kevin Kisner and Siwoo Kim. So, Nick Taylor has as many PGA Tour victories as all of those gentlemen.
Yeah. Wow. Well done to him.
I saw a great tweet. It might have been Kyle Porter, but I can't remember who it was. But it was about his approach shot distance for the last six holes he played, which included the two playoff holes. I think the furthest one away was 13 feet.
Dialed in.
Just stitching everything. That's getting in the zone.
You've got to say he's the best Canadian golfer since Mike Weir, yeah?
Yep.
People go, oh no, Corey Connors. But the difference with Corey Connors is as you just said, as Padraig Harrington said, the trouble with Corey is he's always there or thereabouts, but he doesn't tend to win. Good debate. They have got a decent crop of players, the Canadians, with Mackenzie Hughes and Taylor Pendrith, and I've forgotten one. They've certainly got a decent tranche of players. Right, let's move on to the Genesis Invitational. How many are in this field, Paul?
Is it 70.
70?
Yeah.
Tiger's tournament that they play at Riviera Country Club, a course that he never won at, which I always find a little bit amusing. He's playing. They play his tournament on a course that he never actually won at, which there can't be many of those. Riviera Country Club, Hogan's Alley. It's clearly a special field. We've had a little bit of weird weather in the build-up, chaps. There's a surprise on the PGA Tour in 2024. Some of the numbers actually made me kind of, whoa, that's a lot of rain. They've had 174 millimetres of rain, which is 7 inches, last week. If you take February, they've had over 10 inches of rain. Doesn't feel very Los Angeles-like, does it?
No.
Wow. Now, this course, to me, it's a bit like Phoenix was last week, Scottsdale. It tends to be, these two courses tend to be the first ones where you get greens that release and fairways that have got plenty of roll on them. But with that amount of rain, you get the feeling it's not going to be quite as firm and fast as it tends to be here. I'm talking about Thursday when we start watching the golf. I think there's going to be a little cut in the fairways. And the greens might be just a tad softer than they usually are. I'm not suggesting it's going to be Pebble Beach, by the way. Where ball, hit ball, ball plug fairway, hit ball, ball just land on the green. I don't think it's going to be that soft. But it's not going to be quite... I mean, you can sometimes these greens are pretty similar to what we get at Augusta National. Glass-like. You've got to be very delicate with them. So I think that this week we're going to see another assignment, you know. There isn't a lot of wind in the forecast. I think this could be one of these years where it could be approaching 20 under that wins this. John Rahm won last year at 17 and Wacky Neiman won at 19 under in 2022. Before that, it was 12 and 11 under for Homer and Scott. No. I don't think it's going to be that technical. I don't think it's going to be that hard. It's going to be more mid-score, scorable kind of conditions rather than major championship tough. Just, you know, I'm just throwing this out there because clearly you've got to try and link winning score to what players are comfortable at doing. Now, Nick Taylor's very, very comfortable at scoring 22 under at a desert golf course he loves. Whether he does very well here this week is debatable because this doesn't really sound like his kind of jam. It's a bit tougher for him. Other points to note. Medium length golf course. Classical golf course, old style. It's actually a George Thomas original. And if you're looking for a very, very good link to that, don't forget, he designed Los Angeles Country Club last year where they held the US Open. Now, that course is a lot different to this because that's got like Heathrow Airport wide fairways. But this is tighter off the tee, but again, built in a canyon. So this course has got those... It's a course that's got a lot of topography changes, which is exactly the same as LACC had, and clearly it's similar to what you get at Augusta National. A lot of uneven lies as well. Other points of notice, big green, 7,500 square feet. They are pure Poana. Pure and Poana doesn't go together. They are Poana. rough and fairways. Barry, you love this every year. Kikuyu grass.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other course with Kikuyu grass, Barry? On the PGA Tour?
You suck.
Torrey Pines, where they had the Farmers Insurance Open a few weeks ago. However, that Torrey Pines link is a little tenuous because they tend to overseed that with ryegrass. But anyway, it's Kikuyu grass on both courses. Anything to add about the course before we start moving on with this feature? Barry, what are your thoughts on Riviera? You must love this. Must love it.
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy watching it. It's a lot of ability to kind of shape the ball, play a little bit of, you know, extra creativity and approach shots and try get, it's just interesting watching the guys try to get the ball closer on the greens. It does remind me an awful lot of shaping the ball in towards pins at Augusta and, you know, using slopes to try work the ball into holes. That's an awful lot more engaging to my golf brain than watching dart golf where, in a dome where it's, you know, you're just throwing balls at the green. They're stopping pretty close by. So yeah, there's just I don't know, there's something about the vibe of the course with the trees and the hills and the flow of the land. Just, yeah, it's a great week. I wish it was a couple of hours closer on the clock for, just with the West Coast to here, is the 8-hour difference is a bit of a leap, but yeah, worthwhile staying up late to watch it.
I remember the year Neiman won, which was 22. I got seriously sucked into this Augusta, and Neiman hasn't done anything at Augusta. In fact, he's not even going to be playing it this year, but that's a different conversation. But Rahm, Adam Scott, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, all winners. Fred Couples. Yeah, and Fred Couples, yeah. I mean, it does scream, doesn't it, Augusta National?
Yeah, yeah.
Even J.B. Holmes. I remember this, actually, in the deep recesses of mine. He finished fourth at Augusta 1 year. So, yeah, there's a lot of carryover. Now, I've been trailing through the odds this morning. And as you know, this is, as Paul said, a 70-man field, short field. Best bookmaker for the 2024 Genesis Invitational. Again, we're going to highlight Bet365. They're each-way extra market available. It gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Genesis. And as we highlight each-way extra, they are now offering 8, 10 or even 12 places all at 150 odds across both the PGA and DP World Tours each week. So that's pretty, I mean, you can literally back 12 places each way this week with Bet365 in a 70-man field. Yeah, clearly you're not going to get the same odds, but you are maximising your chances at the very least an each-way return, especially on the bigger prices. Right now, as we record the pod, they are offering 8 places each way and extended market best odds on Cam Young, 33-1. I was tempted on Cam Young. He's got a good record here. Will Zalatoris, 40-1. We know how he plays on these classical golf courses and major tests. What about Hideki Matsuyama? Can you believe? 60-1. He's 55-1 with Skybet, who are offering only 7 places each way in their default market. So you're getting 60-1, 8 places each way with Bet365 each way extra on Hideki Matsuyama. If you're 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their current bet £10, get £30 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in the podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code Paul. What is the bonus code?
It is Sport30, SPORT30.
When registering. I'm never going to ask Barry that ever again after a couple of weeks.
We'll tee him up before next time.
I do learn my lesson. Yeah, don't ever ask you about Kikuyu grass. Don't ever ask you about the bonus code required to open a Bet365 account.
Well, I mean, the Kikuyu was a trick question because it was overseeded. So we just,
that's true.
Very clever quiz master question.
Thank you.
Moving swiftly on.
Maybe we should do a quiz. Do you think we should do a listeners quiz one night? That'd be quite fun, wouldn't it? I reckon people would get involved with that if I could be question master. The only trouble is, how do you stop people looking at the Google on their phones?
Yeah.
When you're doing something remotely. You'd have to hold it somewhere and literally take everyone's phone off them as they walk into the room, put them in a secure box, and then we're going to play properly, Dow Chaps.
Pretty sure that's kidnapping, like Steve. But yeah.
Be like going back to school.
Absolutely. John Rahm won this 2023, 17 under. Neiman, 19 under. Homer, 12. Scott, 11. JB Holmes, 14 under. Their winning prices were, you won't be surprised to hear, that was John Rahm's third victory of 2023. He was 15-2 favourite. So Scotty Scheffler like, but John had actually won a couple of times. Wacky Neiman, 75-1. That's a concrete block on the back of the cranium, that one. Max Homer, 60-1. This is it, chaps. And This is always a loaded tournament. Don't think that, you know, when Neiman won and Homer won, there was hardly anyone there. They were there. Adam Scott, 33-1. JB Holmes, 150-1. Wow. So there's some value winners out there. 33, 60, 75, 150. John Rahm, 15-2 favourite. So it's one of those that does get you licking your lips. There could be some winners out there at a nice price. I've started near the top of the board. Oh, by the way, I am focusing. I think as this course has changed and developed over the years, and especially with technology, I think you've got to be a bit of a... I know this could come across as disrespectful to the course, but this is one of the hardest courses for fairway accuracy. I think it's literally 50% hitting fairways. And I think we're almost into US Open territory here, where it's almost bomb and gouge, because it's better to be hitting it 330 and in the rough, and I've got a mid-iron where I'm hitting it 290 and into the rough. I'm 40 yards further back and having to go with a longer iron or actually just lay up.
Yeah.
So I think power off the tee is something that we definitely need to be looking at this week. In terms of accuracy off the tee, I don't think it really pays any attention whatsoever. As long as you've got players that are good out of the rough, have a high GIR number out of the rough, I think that's something. Or, you know, proximity out of the rough, something like that. Those numbers are great. But I'm going for players with a bit of pop. I also think you've got to be a half-decent scrambler here. I know it's going to be softer, but I'm just checking the GIR numbers here. I mean, it was firm last year. John Rahm was second for GIR at 70.8%. So you're going to need to be able to get some scrambles and save pars. Right, I've started my card with Ludwig Auber. I managed to get 20-1 yesterday. Bet 3, 6, 5, 8 places each way on Ludwig Auber. This could be the tournament, you know, chaps. Could be the tournament where he kind of announces himself and says, "Here I am, chaps. I'm now in the top 10 in the world. And I've only been playing the PGA Tour for less than a year." He's pretty made for it. And he doesn't do badly on Poa, does he? Ninth at Torrey Pines, second at Pebble Beach last time out, and his win at the Omega European Masters on the DP World Tour last year came on those undulating, tiny greens at Cronchurciere, which feature bent grass mixed with Poana.
Yeah, they do.
And Ludwig Auber would be one of those ones where I would look back and go, oh, well, the only reason I didn't pick him was he's never played at Riviera before, but I'm bored of saying it this year, you know. We'd have said the same about Matteo Pavon at Farmers Insurance Open, and he wins the tournament. It's these kind of trends seem to have just disappeared. Adam Scott did win this on course debut back in 05, I think.
Yeah.
And this guy is good. He's brilliant. This is not a wedge golf course either, listeners. It's all 150 and out. And Ludwig Auberg with a middle iron in his hand and further out with his, approaches from 200 plus with fairway metals and the like. Really, really good. So I think I'm on Auberg at the start, at the top. I thought 20-1 was a decent enough price on him. Where are you guys? I've got no idea who you guys are putting up. So where are you? Where are your stakes in the turf this week, chaps, in terms of price?
I've got 4, 28 and upwards for me.
What about you, Barry?
I have 3, 33-1 and upwards.
What about you? 4 go next, you, Paul.
What's going on?
Paul, you go on.
Big week.
The first one I've backed is Jordan Spieth at 28-1, and doesn't seem to be a whole lot of love for Spieth this week. He was quite popular last week, but nothing much this week from what I can see. But I don't really see why. Third at the Century, sixth last week at the Phoenix. Decent off the tee last week, 14th. Decent tee to green, 16th last week. Eighth for strokes gained putting as well. And I always like to see some spark with a putter. And yeah, I get it with Jordan. He's gonna miss the odd really short one and frustrate. But if the rest of his putting game is good and he's making enough putts, then I am interested. Perhaps the price is because he missed the cut last year. But if you look back, fourth in 2015, another top 10 back in 2018. Twice a winner on par, bent par as well. Pebble Beach back in 2017 was a case in point. He almost lapped the field there on the Poana. So, yeah, it feels to me the kind of event where it's going to be a little bit more scorable and Jordan Spieth can come through and make the requisite putts when it's required to win this. Can shape the ball, great Augusta record as we know, which I do think is worth considering this week. It's not the be-all and end-all, as you said, Steve, but it's worth a factor. So, yeah, Spieth for me.
If you're looking at an Augusta link, he's not bad at Augusta, is he, Jordan?
No.
He's reasonable. I'm sure we'll be sniffing around 12 to 1 later in the year for Jordan. Stop. Augusta. As ever. We're talking about odds and value, yeah? It seems to be a topic of conversation this week about value.
Hmm.
I'm putting up a player next who has won 5 times on the PGA Tour. He's 27 years of age. He's won 5 times since May 2021. And I found him at 28 to 1 this week, coming off form of 6th, 10th and 3rd last week. And he was around about 12, would I be right in saying? He was 12 points bigger. Yeah. 16. Yeah. My maths is terrible. He was 12 points bigger than Xander Schauffele, who never wins. But to be like, wow. It blows me away. Sam Burns. Yeah, 6th, 10th and 3rd last week. He was hitting his irons brilliantly on the third and the fourth round. His wins have come at places like Copperhead, par 71, long. I know it's Bermuda grass. Tree-lined, difficult. He's also a winner on bent grass at Colonial Country Club. Par 70, old style. Pretty claustrophobic. So it's not as if he can't play well on these old style classical golf courses. He was the 36 and 54 hole leader here in 2021 before he'd even won a PGA Tour title. So I just thought, yeah, 28 to 1, I'll have that. So I took that with Bet365, 8 places each way by their each way extra facility. Would you say this would be his biggest win, or would you say that was the WGC World Match Play from last year if he was to win this?
Yeah, it's comparable now, isn't it, with the status of it. WGCs were a thing, weren't they, worth winning back when we had them. But I guess they've kind of been superseded by these signature events, as they're now known.
I don't care about the WGC side of things or the signature side of things. If you just remove those, which is the more, like, I'd say, historically significant event to win? In modern times, it's the Riviera. You know, match play back in, 15, 20 years ago when there were more match play events, yeah, that probably had carried a bit more weight to it. But I think you just get remembered for being a winner at Riviera more than you do for winning a match play.
Yeah. Top 64 in the world, though, pretty much all there by the odd one or two. It's an interesting debate, and I think you could debate both sides of it for them.
Yeah, you could. I'd happily sit there and debate the match play side of it as well. So, yeah, I think your win at Riviera just has that. Anyway, do you think he's going to do it?
Well, I'll put him up, so I hope so. Where are you at 33-1 then, Baron?
I put them all on last night. So Tommy Fleetwood is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Tommy's playing some It's really, really good golf at the moment. Got a, you know, the win just a few weeks ago. I put him up, was it last week or the week before? Last week for Pebble, I think it was, or the week before, and didn't go so hot. But I don't know, just if you're hitting the ball really well, I think this is the kind of place that could connect with his golf game. You know, he can flight it around the place, play, you know, manipulate it a bit. It does, this course also seems to have a little bit of a, bias towards lefties who can fade the ball or righties who draw the ball. And that's Tommy's natural shot shape. So although not everything about his game will be perfectly matched up to this, I kind of went with that overriding theme of like the draw and the way he's hitting at the moment. So Tommy's my first pick for the week.
Tommy Fleetwood. Well, I'm on at 33-1 as well, but I'm on Sahith. Sahith Tagala. I got 8 places, 33-1. Went to Pepperdine, 20 minutes up the road. And you just look at where he plays. Well, it's West Coast, and we've discussed this off mic and on mic. He's this kind of player that you take him to the American Express where you need 29 under par and Nick Dunlap wins. Sahith, you're probably not even going to make the cut. It's all over the place. Take him to a proper golf course where driving accuracy doesn't really matter, because he does like some of those drives I was watching on Sunday. They do like to curl out of the fairway towards to where the spectators are standing. But that doesn't matter here. He's long enough. He's got a great approach game at the moment, and he just plays well out west where he grew up. So yeah, I can see Sahith going very, very well again this week. He was sixth here last year, I believe. I was going to say course debut, but I'd need to look at Paul's stats to verify that.
No, he'd had a couple of
goes. He was definitely sixth here last year, I know
he
that.
He was, yeah.
A winner at Silverado last autumn. Kind of similar course-ish in a way. You know, tree line, bent Poana in the greens, not overly long. Yeah, so I'm on Sahith Tagala. 33-1.
No, he's one of mine as well, Steve. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've got to stick with him. I was on him last week. As I said, last week he opened at 50s and got backed into 33s.
What did you get on last week?
I missed the early price last week, so I was on 33s. But yeah, similar story again this week, wasn't it? So, but there's no reason to drop him. He was right in the mix, right until the final day, and just couldn't quite muster the birdies on Sunday. But he's playing well. He's playing some good golf, and as I say, he's the kind of player that if you backed him the week before and he's placed for you and got into a decent position, it's a hard ask not to stay there for another week, so I'll give him another go.
I made the mistake in the start of January where I backed him the week after he'd missed out in the playoff at the Century. I think that one really did hurt him. I don't think yesterday or Sunday will have hurt as much. I know he was in the lead for much of it, but it was nip and tuck the whole way, wasn't it, with him and Taylor. Taylor was leading for a lot of it. Then Charlie came up, and I know he dropped to fifth, but I don't think that will have taken as much out as losing in a playoff.
No.
In fact, I think he'll take the positives from it. You know, I'm playing really good golf here, and I'm going to a course I really like.
Yep.
Worth noting, was top 10 at Augusta National on debut last year. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. There aren't many top 10 at Augusta on their first go. He's a natural to Gala.
Yep.
So you're on as well. My next is 40-1, Barry. Where are you coming in at next?
Just in around there, kind of blended.
Go on, then you go.
Yeah. Gone for 2-time winner at the event, playing sensational golf, Adam Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be in a really good space. I watched an interview he did a few weeks back with Iona Stephen, and just seems like he's really got the head screwed on this year. A lot of focus, aiming, feels like he has another major in him, and with this being a major-esque kind of vibe to it, you know, or major light, having won here a couple of times before, maybe, you know, when you're focused on the big prize of a major, you might accidentally just pick up one of these along the way. So that's kind of my rationale. Nothing, didn't need to go too deep into the stats to kind of back up why I've picked him this week. Just playing well, has good course history here. Bet, done.
I always, always get suckered into either him or Justin Rose at the Masters. And it tends to be when Adams finished 54th, 48th or 39th over the last 3 years. I need to make a note. Do not put Adam Scott up at the Masters this year. That's not dissing your tip, by the way, Baron. Although it's
okay. It probably needs it to motivate. So
he seems the sort to me that can contend at PGA Tour level. I don't know, in my own mind, if he's got the ability now to contend in majors. And clearly he thinks that he has. And if he wasn't telling himself that, he might as well give up, hadn't you? But at something like this, and there's a quote from him saying that where others struggle to read these greens, he just reads them, so he gets on with them. So that's dangerous, because he's hitting his approach play at the moment is outstanding. I think he's like second for strokes gained approach on my 8 week numbers. And then you're reading that he's very good at, you know, he's very good at reading the greens. Yeah, he's third for a strokes gained approach. And he's also third for strokes gained tee to green over the last 8 weeks. There's not a lot to not like, really. He's third also for strokes gained current form. So only behind Scheffler Thomas. So, yeah, it's a decent bet. 40-1 you got?
I'd have to check, because I put a bet on each way, and then I also went and grabbed kind of a win-only enhanced price.
He opened at 40s, I believe.
Let me see. I got 45 to 1 on an enhanced win price on 365.
Yeah.
And then I got him, hang on. I can just tell how well I track my bets and I can't even find them that quickly. I think it was 35 to 1 maybe.
I think it was 35 to 1 on the each way extra with bet 365 when he opened. But he's been backed in across the board and I can see why.
I got 33 to 1 7 places.
Yeah. That works.
It will if he wins. Anyway.
He's on my post-it note of doom, as you know. It's always funny. When you put him up, you always list, there's always a 3-second pause. You're expecting me to jump in negatively straight away. And I'm not falling for it. I kind of went at it from a different angle this time. But I hope he wins for you.
Through gritted teeth.
No. Far from it. Again, value. Can someone explain to me why Wyndham Clark was 40-1 on first show with Bet 365 this week?
55-1 if you wanted to go in with the bog standard each way places yesterday. Mad price, wasn't it?
So let me get this straight. Xander hasn't won for 2 years, is it? It's coming on for 2 years since the Travellers in 2022. Patrick Cantlay hasn't won, I think, since going back to when he won the Tour Championship in 22 as well, something like that. And you're scratching around for 16s and 20s, and then you've got a guy that's won 3 times in the last year, including a US Open, and you've been able to back him at 55-1. Makes no sense to me. Anyway, I'm on Wyndham Clark. I took 40-1 8 places each way with Bet 365. On Wyndham Clark. This is a guy that's finished 17th here, 8th here, 33rd last year. Gets on with the golf course, says he loves it. He's hitting his approach play right now. He's really bang on. I think he lost his rag last week. He shot brilliant scores in round two and round three, and then he got to kind of semi-contention. I think he made a mistake early on in round four and kind of just, whatever. So I'm not overly bothered about that. But I think here, for a guy that won at Pebble Beach a few weeks ago, and shot 60 on Poana greens. And now I know these greens aren't the same. Clearly, Pebble Beach, they're small and flattish. Here, they're bigger and more undulating. But Clark, streaky putter, long approach play right now is lights out. Give me 40 to 1 about a US Open winner. No problem at all. I'll take that. Are you on Wyndham, Paul?
I am.
You are?
The two of my four have matched two of yours. So
can you understand these problems? Is it all again about these strokes gain numbers? It's just inconsistency.
I think so. Maybe it's just that the bookies have seen him at longer prices earlier in the season. And yeah, he's won. And the price just hasn't been slashed as much as perhaps it should have been. I don't get it, Steve. I looked at the price. I thought, that's too long. I've got to take it. He won by default at Pebble Beach. I get that. But he still topped the strokes gained putting stats on those Poana greens from the recorded rounds. So it was understandably putting well. I don't think it's going to have taken too much out of him emotionally and mentally to have won that, because it's not as if he had to go through the heat of a Sunday battle to win. It was just kind of landing in his lap.
Landed on his lap. Here's $3.6 million for not playing on a Sunday. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. Anyway, exactly. Let's go to Phoenix.
Do you think the reason his price stays out where it does is because he's just not that popular, sexy bet? He just doesn't drag in that weight of money on him.
Maybe. And yeah, the market's going to be influenced by the punters. And yeah, there's a starting position, and then as we've seen with Tsukala, the starting position the last couple of weeks has been quickly hammered. Wyndham Clark, not so much so, even though he's got that recent win. We saw when he won that when his US Open, he'd won really quite recently in that as well. So winning twice in quick succession isn't out of the question.
That was another reason I loved him, Paul. For that very reason.
Yeah. I think it was two or three starts later he won the US Open. So why not?
He won at Quail, missed the cut of the PGA. Then he showed at the Memorial, which was on that really tough, glassy course at that Jack Nicklaus puts up at Muirfield Village. He was second for GIR that week. Then he goes to the US Open and takes that out the week 2 weeks later. So he went win, miss, cut, 12th, first. So he's not the sort that shies away from winning in quick succession.
No, absolutely not. It's great each way bet, I think, this week at the price on offer.
Right, my last tip won't surprise anyone, I would have thought, but he's at 90 to 1. Where are you two coming in at for your bigger shots?
80 to 1 for my final one.
Go on then, mate.
I'm copying your homework, Steve, so you can take this one. So
take us through your 80 to 1 shot, Paul.
He's been nibbled in. You mentioned him already. Hideki Matsuyama. He was 80 to 1 yesterday with the bog standard each way prices. You can get 60 to 1, did you say, right now with with eight each way?
Yeah.
Again, it seemed too big to me for a player of his undoubted quality. Not playing terribly either. 13th for the Farmers, 22nd last week in Phoenix. And what I liked about the Phoenix stats was it was the first time this year that he has been strokes gained positive with the putter. Now, we know Hideki, we know his game, we know how good he can be from tee to green. When the putter warms a little, he's a dangerous proposition. So, been strokes gained negative all year up until last week. So, perhaps he can bring that forward into this week. I guess the reason that he's the price he is that his record here is a little bit underwhelming of recent times. Missed a couple of cuts, two of the last three times that he's come here to Riviera, but before that, 4th, 11th, 9th, 5th from four attempts prior to that between 2015 and 2020. And at the price, again, there's this Augusta link there. I think he could sneak a place. I think he could potentially go better than that if he can really get the putter working this week. But yeah, quite happy to take a punt on Hideki this week to complete my team.
Going back to prices, I think a lot of these bookmakers price up. They price up for each way, don't they? They also involve strokes gain data. So if you're a consistent sort that's constantly around that top 10, you're getting your price chopped off at the knees each and every week. If you're one of these more sporadic, miscut... I mean, at the end of the day, they've got to offer bigger odds on some players. So the ones that are more erratic are going to be the ones that they actually give you some value on.
Yep.
So Clark definitely comes into that that mix, for sure. Matsuyama, they weren't giving you a lot of value on him, but he's definitely being edged out week in, week out, isn't he now?
Yeah. Big price.
The last one I haven't been able to shift off of my 8-week tracking numbers for ages is Kurt Kitayama. He was priced up triple digits for this first thing. You just think, wow. He's in the top 12 for both off the tee and approach, and top 8 for strokes gained tee to green in my 8-week trackers. He won the API last year, which was a signature event in 2023, which is basically the same as an elevated event in 2024. And he also finished 4th at the PGA Championship on the very classical tree-lined, tough Oak Hill. So, he's from Northern California. Hasn't really shown a great deal on Poa. He's had a top 20 at Pebble Beach. I was on him this year and he started really well. Then he fired in a 76 at Spyglass and then he finished with a top 10 round on the Saturday. So, yeah, I don't know. But yes, Kurt Kitayama's just playing some really good golf right now. There's a real opportunity, you know, because a lot of the US elite don't seem to have started yet. So if some of these guys like a Kitayama or a Sahith or a Keegan Bradley or someone can get a big victory this week, they're pretty much getting right into the President's Cup mix straight away for Team USA. And clearly there's some big, big FedEx Cup points up for grabs in these signature in these elevated events. You're on him as well, aren't you, Baron?
Mm-hmm.
Can you add anything more eloquent than I just did?
No, well, other than I had to walk back a comment last week in our thread.
What did
you
say?
I was doubting Kitayama. You're going to quote me now, aren't you? I hate you.
No, I'm not. I'm going to try to get you to say what you actually said.
I think it was just a general doubt about Kitayama and the level of golfer he was. And from that moment on, he proved everything I said wrong. So I've now done a full 180 and I've backed him this week.
Yeah. You'll miss the cut. You can actually miss the cut this week, chaps.
Good.
You've got to be within the 10 shots of the lead, is it? Something like that?
Top 50 and, yeah, within 10 shots. Top 50 in ties and within 10 shots. That's great. They need to have a cut.
Yeah, they've got a cut for Tiger's event, for Arnie's event and for Jack's event, which I think they needed to have done.
They should do it for all the signature events. The guys who are struggling for that week don't want to be grinding out two rounds over the weekend.
Mm. Yeah. Have any of you got a triple digit selection for the listeners, or should we call it quits? Is there anyone at triple digits, if you haven't backed, that tempted you?
I have one.
Go on.
A double triple digits. Come for Kevin Yu at 200-1. 7 places. So I've kind of gone with the hoping he has a slightly better than average week with his approach shots. Last year he was 14th on tour for strokes gained tee to green, which is a good matchup here. He's lethal with his short wedges, which is very good for getting up and down here. So I've grabbed him. Give it a whirl. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, be just the ticket for him to do something after missing the cut last week, Steve.
He was going really well, you know. I think he was on the wrong side of the draw, and then he got to something like 6 under, and then they called it quits. Or he was a 4 under. That's right, 4 under, and then they called it for quits on the Friday. And then on Saturday morning, I'm just scrolling through and I'm looking for Kevin. Clearly, I made the mistake of starting at the top of the leaderboard. And I'm scrolling. Oh, shit. Scrolling.
He had a dodgy breakfast.
He went double bogey par double to eject. It was a bit Jake Knapp-like, but he did his over four holes rather than just the one. Mm. Yeah, so double bogey par double. So he went from being like top five tee to green at Pebble Beach to being like 117th for tee to green. But that's what you get with these youngsters, I suppose. If he actually goes back to type, he could be the perfect kind of player for Riviera.
Strategic ejection so he could get the weekend off just to fine-tune it for Riv.
Mm. I see Gary Woodland in there at 250. It'd be nice to see something out of Gary this week. By the way, Charlie Hoffman asked Tiger Woods for a sponsor's invite to this event, and Tiger said, sorry, Charlie, they're all full. And Charlie then said to him almost, you know, as you would, oh, I'll play my way in. And he did. So fair play to Chuck Hoffman. I like stories like that.
Mm.
I love stories like that. I think that's us done, chaps, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all good.
All good. I hope your bets go well.
You too, boys.
You're in Kenya next week, aren't you, Paul?
Back to Kenya, yeah. But poor field by the looks of it. I haven't quite worked out who's going to be favourite. Maybe Tristan Lawrence will be favourite next week.
And we are off on the PGA Tour to Mexico for the Vedanta at the golf course that John Rahm and Tony Finau have won at single-digit prices for the first 2 years.
Hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see who's going off at single digits. It's clearly going to be Tony Finau, isn't it?
Yeah, if he's playing, yeah.
And the way he's hitting the ball from tee to green, it'll be hard to dissuade. It'd be hard to dissuade you not to back him at 7-1 in what is likely to be a terrible field. But Barry and I've already got one of my tips for next week, Barry. You know who that is.
Yeah.
So it's all good. I hope the listeners, your bets go well. We will be back next week with the Golf Betting System podcast. If you have listened on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel. Please, if you've made it this far, throw us a 5-star review on Apple. We are out. So if you write one next week, you're very, very likely to get read out at the start of the show. See you again soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the golf.